got money problems, I'm sorry. Ain't no money problems ever stop me. I just treated praying like a hobby, and then I prospered at Godspeed, and it got me.
Money, money, power, I need checks in every week.
Oh, yeah.
For a season, nigga, I need breakfast.
Dun, 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 dun. Welcome back to another episode of Prosper with Godspeed. Hope y'all doing good. I know it's been a long time, and I mean, if you look at the title of the episode, you know, I'm gonna get into, you know, everything, kind of share like a recap of what's been going on. A lot of fun and exciting stuff, a lot of stuff that, you know, has been new, has been, you know, rewarding, has been challenging. So, man, you know, just gonna get straight into it and start off with a quick prayer. Lord, thank you for just everything. In Jesus' name, pray, amen. Just gotta keep it short and simple sometimes. But last time I did an episode, I just talked about, you know, becoming a father and being, you know, understanding postpartum and a lot of the changes. So, if you didn't know, I start off by saying I started making music, and a lot of the times when I come and have this time or this space to come in the studio, I want to focus on music. I don't really focus on podcasts. So I kind of, in a sense, took a break from the podcast, but not really, because the whole time I'm just like, you know, I need to get back to the podcast. I need to get back to the podcast. I need topics and, you know, yada, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, finally back. And one of the big things that's kind of like allowed me to get back is that the kids are gone from the school. Also, on top of making music, this was my first year as a school counselor. And officially, like, the week before the one that just passed, I finished, like, the kids are done. Like, now we have kids there, but they're doing summer school, trying to make their pick up their grades to pass and go to the next grade. But now, it's just the office staff, no teachers. You have summer school kids and you got summer school teachers. They're in a building that's down, and, you know, like, you have to walk down the sidewalk to get to. So they're there, but it almost like they're not there because they don't bother us and we don't bother them unless something crazy happened. Like the other day, you know, one of the kids got in trouble for marijuana. And yeah, that's that with that situation. But I've been, you know, my first school year, I just talk about that for a little bit. First school year, man, it was a lot of, it really wasn't a lot of ups and downs. It was a lot of fun. It's different every day. Something's different, you know. It's a different thing every day. Like, literally, you know, people can say that and it's just like, yeah, every day is different, but it's really not. Working in a school every day is different, man. And I was talking to my principal, and he was just like, you know, I would advise you, for as long as you be a counselor, get you a journal, start writing down your days, like a recap, like what happened. Because he was just talking to me, it was like, man, there's so much stuff that has happened, so many stories, good, bad, unorthodox, that I can't remember, that I wish I could. And I think I'm gonna start doing that this upcoming school year, man, just writing like a summary of what was going on or what happened that day. Because he's not lying, man. It's been some crazy stuff, from kids being in the bathroom, doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing together, kids running off campus, kids talking crazy. I mean, kids talk crazy to teachers all the time. But just for me, like, if you're an educator, now you've been doing it for a while, like, you know, this is my first year, and my wife has been a teacher for 5 years, so she's had her moments. But for me, like, this, everything is new, so it was fun, man. It was fun. My first year was fun. I think one of the best things about this school year was just becoming, like, stepping into the role as a counselor. Mentor really is what I feel like. I feel like a mentor, almost like a coach for the kids, like a life coach for the kids. I feel like counselor, you know, for me, it's like when I hear that word, I feel like it's so outdated. It's like somebody who does paperwork. And I feel like, I mean, of course, I did paperwork, had my share, definitely gonna have my share of it in the summer, you know, while the kids are out. But definitely an outdated term to me. I don't feel like a counselor. I feel like a coach. When I talk to the kids, it's fun. Some of the stuff is hard, man. I get into that, but a lot of the time it's fun. It was fun just talking, just kind of being like a dad, being a mom to some of them, big brother. Just kind of get them to see like what's important in life. I got a little off topic, but it has been fun. Like, and one of the best things was just getting to be around the kids. Honestly, you know, they're the kids. There's some kids you're just like, man, this is a tough one. I really don't want to deal with them like that. But then you got your kids where you just look forward to seeing because they just make your day in a sense, you know. And since I graduated grad school in 2017, this is the first job that I've had that I don't dread going to. At least not right now. I mean, I'm still fresh in it, new in it, but still, man, 180 some days with kids, and every day I was like, I get to get on the road, drive 45 minutes, and spend time with kids, help them. And I didn't really feel like it was a job at you know, most times. I was just like, man, I'm ready to go see kid A, or I'm ready to go see kid B. I'm ready to hear what stories they got. You know what I'm saying? So that's one of the things I really enjoy. And, you know, anytime working with kids, especially teenagers and teenage girls, my gosh, I dealt with a lot of petty drama, friend drama. Definitely going to deal with a lot of, that's going to be like my, that's our calling card as counselors in middle school, is drama and girl drama. And and being a male counselor, I dealt with more girl drama than my co-counselors. But I dealt with a lot of it. And granted, my co-counselors, they've been there a while, so they do a lot of the more important stuff, really. You know, I give them that than I do. You know, since I'm new, I'm learning everything, and a lot of the stuff I have, my duties aren't as strenuous as some of the stuff they have to do. But, man, I really felt like I was, you know, going through it with some of these teenage girls, listening to the problems they were having and trying to help them solve it. I was just like, man. And every day, or every other day, it was like they're friends today, and then tomorrow they're upside each other's head. So I dealt with a lot of that. I didn't really have any, like worker issues, like co-work issues, you know, like in terms of dislikes and stuff like that. There were a couple teachers that I really just didn't really care to be around just because they gave off some weird energy. But for the most part, man, everybody treated me like I've been a counselor for a while. And I mean, I guess it's just God's grace and, you know, his mercy, just kind of like what I've been through before getting here, maybe prepared me, my mental, my attitude to, you know, in a way display an attitude of a veteran. Like, I've been doing this for a while. A lot of people thought I had been a counselor way before this year, you know, just talking to them. I was like, nah, man, this is my first year as a school counselor. So, you know, that makes me feel good. You know what I'm saying? Some of them probably was gassing me, but some of them probably was really was just like, man, you know. And they didn't hesitate. my emails was on fire every day. Sometimes I just had to sit at my desk and look at my emails like, I really don't, I gotta go deal with this again. Yo, so, excuse me, because like the administrators are really busy. You know, every day is something new, like I said, man. And then they every other day they'll get a situation where they gotta sit down and assess it, look at cameras, all that type of stuff, man. So we be in it, man. But I had a lot of good moments. It was hard, definitely, like just the mental strength and capacity you gotta have for dealing with other people's feelings and problems, and then having to process your own feelings and problems. Because a lot of the times I didn't feel, because I am new, I didn't feel as close to my coworkers, my co-counselors, as I would have liked to my first year. And my wife, you know, she said, you know, it's gonna change. It's just the first year, and I'm hoping it's gonna change, but right now I don't feel like it's gonna change, just because. And again, we got no problem with them, but I think it's just, you know, who, like, obviously they're close with each other because they got 5 years of working experience together, but I don't have none with them. But all that said, they both stepped in to help me and teach me things I needed to know while they were learning new things. So I give them a lot of props and a lot of, you know, give them their flowers, because they really helped me while they were trying to learn new stuff for them, even for themselves. So it was good. And I know there's going to be some hard years ahead of me, and they're going to be some really fun, easy, exciting years. But I just, you know, I pray and I know and hope God equipped me with the mental, physical, emotional, spiritual fortitude, everything to deal with, you know, these upcoming years as a counselor, because I do enjoy it, and I do feel like it's a calling. It just never felt like how my other jobs felt this year. My other jobs, it just felt like a job. This, it felt like I'm making a difference. I'm helping shape and mold these kids who are the future of this country or in this world. So, not to say the other jobs are less than, but for me, this job is just, you know, it was good. You know, it was good. And, you know, part of me hopes my podcast and music, not part of me, definitely I want my podcast and my music to take off. I would love to, you know, accomplish the dream of being an entrepreneur, working from home, supporting my family, all that. But, you know, I want to be content in the moment that I'm in right now. I'm learning how to make music. I'm learning how to do better at all that. And I'm learning how to be a counselor. And I am a counselor. So I keep telling myself, if God decides to bless me that way, that's the way he's going to bless me. If not, then I'm going to spend my years as a counselor, and I will retire. And me and my wife, we're going to live it up, because, you know, the teaching is hard, but the retirement, I think, benefits are really good. So, man, you know, God will, we live to see those years. We gonna live it up for real. Like, we taking a couple trips out of the country. Yeah, heard me. So I look forward to that, but I also look forward to just the possibility of my podcast and my music taking off. TikTok really has been like, just what I mean, I say it all the time. TikTok is full of cap. It's full of misinformation, disgenuine information. People just saying stuff to get views, to make themselves look good or feel heard, which is what social media is, you know, 80% of the time. But I mean, I really got inspired finding a lot of independent artists on there, man. And this is a guy named Connor Price. I don't know if he still is an actor, but he was an actor, and he didn't really have any big roles, but he acted. But when I found him, he had released this song called EGOT, which is acronym for Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, Tony, which is like an actor or rap, musical person, whatever, accomplishing, winning all of these Academy Awards, right? Emmy, Grammy, you know, Oscar, Tony. Those are movie and acting awards. You know, big awards. And when I found him, he really wasn't that big. You know what I'm saying? Like, his following wasn't that big. Whatever, whatever, right? And then, like, out of nowhere, like the other week, I just randomly checked his monthly listeners on Spotify, and he said 1 million. Like, I'm like, bro. So a lot of the times when I see that, I tell myself, why not me? Like, why not me? And that's why a lot of the times I get into telling my kids at school, like, man, chase your dreams. Like, you don't ever know. And even as a 29-year-old, almost 30, it's like, it's never too late to chase your dream. A lot of people look at 29, 30 as old, but really and truly, I'm not even hit my prime yet. You know what I'm saying? So I got a lot of good years left. And even if I was 39, man, I would look at it the same way. 49, I would look at it the same way. That's just who I am. It's never too late. And you hear these crazy stories, man, and you just, you know, Russell Westbrook always says, why not? And why not me? You know what I'm saying? So ever since I started watching Russell and his brand, why not? It's just like, why not me? Why not me? Why not my family? You know what I'm saying? So I don't have the backing and the support and the listeners and all that stuff right now, but why not me? You know, I do know if I don't put forth any effort, it'll never happen. So in the meantime, between time, I'm making music, I'm making podcasts, being a counselor, trying to be a good husband, trying to be a good father, trying to be a good person, and just trying to stay out the way and get in shape, get back in shape. That's what I'm doing right now. But ask yourself, why not? Like, if you're somebody who's struggling with whatever it is, man, a dream, something you want to do, and ask yourself, why not you? Morgan Freeman, I think the story goes, he didn't become an actor till he was 51, something like that. Bro, he was a janitor or something like that. He was a janitor. And you think about the show Abbott Elementary, the main character, the girl, she was just an influencer all these years, and now she's in the big leagues, and that show is awesome, and it's gonna be doing good for a long time to come. So why not you know what I'm saying? Why not me? I do know if I don't try, it ain't gonna happen. So I'm gonna keep trying until God say, hey, my boy, it's time to come home. And then that it is what it is. So I just like got all off my first point of just the school recap. But yeah, I had a lot of like good moments, happy moments, watching the kids, watching our eighth grade boys. Excuse me. Watching our eighth grade boys win the district championship was really fun and exciting for them. Just to see those little dudes' faces. I say little, but a lot of them kids are taller than me. but just to see their faces, man, at 14, 13-year-old, it's a good feeling, man. It's just a good feeling. But a lot of, most of my sad moments or tough moments came from when kids would share with me that they were thinking about suicide or having cutting themselves, hurting themselves. That always, I think, will take the cake in terms of the toughest thing to deal with. And y'all, man, y'all wouldn't even believe. We have to, you know, we have protocol we got to follow. We got to call parents, tell them to come get their kids when they say stuff like that, because we don't want to, you know, risk them staying there and then, you know, something hurt happens to them after they made a statement of wanting to hurt themselves. You know, them school district, us, we be held responsible. But y'all wouldn't believe some of them parents come up there and say, ain't nothing wrong with them. They just doing that for attention. And that's almost hard to hear. That's worse to me than almost the kid saying, I want to hurt myself. It's just that parents are not taking it serious and not concerned at all. You know what I'm saying? And that's scary and it's sad. And I'm sitting in my office with my other counselors, and we're listening and watching these parents sometimes act a fool. And we're like, ma'am, this is protocol. You got to take them home. You know what I'm saying? One parent didn't even want to take her daughter home. Didn't even want to come get her. You know, she was, she was just concerned about what she had going on in her life. And some of that stuff is hard to stomach, but, that's the hardest part about being a counselor. Hearing, 12, 13, 14 year olds say they want to hurt themselves. And some of them even have already started hurting themselves. There have been times we've caught kids with, or student friends that come to us and say, hey, my friend has been cutting. They have cuts on their arm. They didn't want me to say anything, but I know that's a big thing. And we have to call them in and have a witness and all that stuff, man. And you get to talking and these kids tell you things. And it almost make you feel like what's going on at home? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's going on at home? What are you know, why do you feel like this? But obviously we don't ask those type of questions. We just let them talk and tell us what's going on, and we go from there, man. We've had to do DHS cases. Had to do that. That's always tough. You never know what to believe with some kids, but the big thing is we cannot believe them. You know what I'm saying? Or even if we don't really believe them, we still have to file a report. And I'm always gonna, you know, file a report whether or not the kid is somebody who cried wolf all the time. Had a student who, yeah, just was in a really bad space. And she was, it was, man, it's a lot, you know what I'm saying? It's a lot, man. But one thing my co-counselors told me, they say, look, you know, when you go home, your hometown, like at home is at home. You know, when you go home, you at home. And a lot of the time, I told my kids, when I get in my truck, at the end of the day, I ain't Mr. Anthony no more. I'm Juante. The little baby, the Drake, whatever, come on. You know, in my office, I'm playing, you know, Christian rap, you know, good rap. But when I get in the car, you know, I'm not Mr. Anthony no more. You got to be able to do that. You got to be able to get in the car and like, all right, it's time to go home. It's time to focus on my wife and my son and my side hustles, whatever. You have to be able to do that. If you don't if you're not able to do that, it'll drive you crazy. It'll drive you crazy and you'll take away a lot of time from your family and stuff like that. So I'm fortunate to, you know, be blessed with first of all, two coworkers who told me like, all right, this is what you need to do. But also me just being me, you know what I'm saying? Like being able to leave and be like, all right, I'm done with work for the day. Cause I'm in that position now. I'm in a position where all I gotta focus on is work and family. You know what I'm saying? And that takes away a lot of the, you know, the extra stuff. But there have been days where, you know, I come home and I'm like, man, did I handle that situation right? Did I say the right thing to them? Did I say something that can get me in trouble? Was I a little too harsh with them? You know, there have been days like that, but most of the time I'm home and I'm at home. I'm not thinking about that. And I share with my wife like what crazy stuff happened that day. Because you see a lot of crazy stuff. You hear a lot of crazy stuff. So definitely got to be able to do that. My first year being a counselor, I was asked to, you know, step in some classrooms and watch the class while teachers do professional development or something like that. And let me tell you, I got a newfound respect for teachers. Okay. I just do. And here in Mississippi, they finally gave us a raise, and I'm grateful for the raise, but it still ain't probably gonna be end up being enough because of just what goes on in those classrooms. Teachers, people who have been teachers for 10, 15 plus years, you're just built different, okay? Like, nobody can do your job. If you've been a teacher for that any amount of time, honestly, past 2 years, you're just built different, okay? I don't think anybody could just be a teacher. And if you're hearing this podcast and you're a teacher, you know, give yourself a pat on the back. If you're hearing this podcast and you're not a teacher and you know somebody that's a teacher, call them, text them, hit them up and say thank you for what you do. Cause it's shit hard, okay? I'm not a teacher, I'm a counselor. And sitting in those classes and having to monitor and direct 15, 20 different personalities, dude, you can't even imagine. You know, it's one thing if you're in a daycare and you're watching over these babies, but it's another thing when you're dealing with teenagers whose bodies are going through so many different changes. The chemicals in their brain are unlocking. Their hormones are bouncing off the walls. You can see it. And you just can't know, man. So I got a lot of respect for teachers of any kind. You know, I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I told my wife, you know what I'm saying, I get my years in as a counselor, I probably like ride into the sunset as a PE teacher, you know. But and being in the classroom, yelling or trying to control a classroom on the days you don't feel like doing it, when you might have a headache, you might be feeling sick, you might be having personal problems, bro, hats off to teachers. And I hope one day, you know, the pay for teachers goes up some more, because they just deserve it, man. Just deserve it. So shout out teachers. Shout out to my wife, my mom, stepmom, people who've been in education in my life. Shout out to y'all. Y'all doing the thing. I can't do it. You know, so I got made a little office. I can close that mug, lock the door in the mug. So yeah, I can't really do that. But y'all are amazing. Teachers don't get enough credit. If you somebody listening to this and you got kids and you find yourself snapping on a teacher, man, you need to stop. You don't even know what teachers do to help your kid pass. Okay? They don't know. And you need to stop acting like a booty hole, because they go above and beyond for your kids. And even when they don't want to, they do it. Matter of fact, did you know, it might just be my school district, but a 65 is passing, my dear. A 65. When I was in school, 65 was an F. Was an F. You weren't passing with that. You was not. A 70 was the start of a D. 75 was a C. And I don't, it might just be Mississippi. But with that being said, parents, the grading, all that is so low, and your kids still don't do what they need to do to pass. And it's easy as 1, 2, 3 nowadays. So get a teacher some slack, because they ain't got to be doing what they be doing. So shout out teachers. I guess, like, I got a point on my notes. I wanted to share. I guess I could share. Yeah, I didn't really have any problems with teachers, but like the last few weeks, you know, I guess everybody just at that point, just tired or whatever. I'm gonna share like two stories where I just kind of felt myself like, okay, this is what we go do. You know what I'm saying? Two moments. There was a teacher. I ain't gonna drop no names, but there was a teacher, and I had got asked to watch her class. I had got asked to watch her class. And I'm like, cool, whatever. No, I didn't really want to do it because I'm tired and I had like paperwork I needed to do for the like district or whatever. And I just, you know, I was running low on time. So I was kind of agitated a little bit. So I get to the class, you know what I'm saying? She looking like, all right, she just finna leave, right? Didn't say nothing, just finna leave. And I'm like, hold up, wait, stop. You know what I'm saying? Like, what time they supposed to go to lunch? What are they supposed to be doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, she was just finna like leave and not say anything. And she was like, they'll take care of you, whatever, whatever. And I'm like, yo, I am the adult here. Like, this not how this gonna work. You know what I'm saying? Like, what time they go to lunch? What are they doing? And then she said, they're doing a study guide and they go to lunch at this time. I said, cool, let her go. Sat in there and I'm thinking they're gonna be gone just for the lunch period, right? Which is fourth period for this, for us. It's like an hour and 20 minutes, 29 minutes. So, excuse me. They and her, you know, they the department went out as a whole. They were rewarded. But she was gone for like, well, not just she, they was gone for like almost two class periods. So I'm like, yo, like I got stuff to do. So I'm getting agitated, whatever. Finally, she knocks on the door. She knocks on the door and she comes in. I just walk. I walk out. I try to be a temp about it, you know, crack a little joke as I was walking out, but I was ready to go. So I left. And like a couple of days later, I found out that she, you know, was talking crap. I say talking crap, but she was, you know, making little smart remarks like, oh, Mr. Anthony, he didn't want to watch my class. He had like, you know, I'm just like, what? You know, which is true. So I was in shock when I heard it. The person telling me, I was just like, yep, you know, like that's crazy. Not even trying to, you know, pour gasoline on. I'm just like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? And I just walked out. So it ain't really nothing major. But the second was we had this end of the year cookout for the teachers, right? Kids gone, it's just the teachers. So we just having a good time. But a few days before that, the lady who the teacher who usually puts together like the school lunches and stuff. Like every week we like get a chance to order lunch from like a local restaurant or something, fast food restaurant or something. So she was over the lunch. So she made a spreadsheet and she was like, everybody put in here what you're going to bring, right? I clicked on that mug. I'm like one of the first people to like click on it. It's like 80 some people in the school. I'm like one of the first ones, not one of the first ones, but I'm like in the top 30 that clicked on it, right? Out of 80. So it's like a bunch of people, a bunch of teachers saying they bringing water. And I'm looking at it. People got water, chips, cups, condiments. I'm like, what am I bringing? Cook. Yeah. I'm like, what am I bringing? So I'm just like, I'm just going to bring water. I'm just going to bring water. Right. So I put that on the spreadsheet. Like 30 minutes later, I get an email from that teacher saying, hey, I took. Or the next day, I want to say, she said, I took the water off your name. But could you bring a vegetable or a fruit tray or something like that? I don't know why, but it rubbed me the wrong way. Because during the year, she would always kind of be like really demanding and direct, you know, kind of like for no reason at all. Kind of I'm over the 504. For the school. So just to help them out, I tell them like, hey, when it's time for little Billy Bob to take their test, you email me and I'll find them some place to go to take their test, because they're supposed to test by themselves or small group. And she would just tell me like, hey, I'm sending so and so. No, you're not sending so and so. You're gonna email me and you're gonna ask me if I'm busy. Because I might be busy, and if I am busy, you gotta find something else. I find a way for them to take their test. You know, cause I don't I felt like me saying I help out is was a something I really don't have to do. But because I'm over it, I'm like, oh, let me make sure I'm doing something so they can be following this. Whatever. So she just used to like talk to me like she, I'm gonna do this. And I'm like, that's not what we said. We said you will email me first and then I will confirm it is good to send them. But she never really followed that. So I just kind of left it alone because a lot of the 504 students were some of my close students. So I love spending time with them. So whatever. So she was like, can you bring a vegetable fruit tray? I didn't respond. I left it blank for a while. And then I randomly check it. And somebody put Coke up in there. I don't know who did it. I obviously, my mind is thinking she did it. So first I said, I'm bringing water. And then you say, you ask me, can you bring a vegetable fruit tray? And then you put Coke in there. Like, I'm just going to bring Coke. Like, who are you? Like, who do you think? Like, who do you think? I'm not these other people. I'm not going to do that. Because when I already said I was going to bring water, he told me not to bring water. Then he proceeded to tell me what to bring. And then when I didn't say anything, he tried to put Coke by my name. Like, I'm just going to show up with a 12 pack and be like, okay, I got the Coke. I don't know why. But I said, part of me was like, it's the end of the school year. I got time. So I'm just talking to my wife. I'm like, babe, you know, yada, you know, A and B, da, 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 da. And she just like, just get the fruit tray or whatever. I'm like, no. I'm like, not get the fruit tray. Because I was one of the first people to sign up and say what I was going to bring. I was going to bring water. So what I did, I went back and forth like 5 times with myself. Because I just be trying to do the mature thing most of the time. And I was just like, all right, we're going to go to Walmart in the morning. We're going to get a case of water. Nah. I mean, get a fruit tray. And I get to Walmart. And no, like, as I'm getting ready for work, the more and more I thought about it, I was just like, I can't just get a fruit tray. So I went to Walmart and I was going to get like a look 4-pack of water, something like that, right? No, I said, I'm finna get sparkling water. Don't nobody like that crap. It's nasty and it's cheap. And I said, I was going to get water. So I got what is it called? La Croix or something like that. It was like $3 for like an 8-pack. And yeah, nobody. Well, I heard she asked about what I brought or what I was supposed to bring. She was like, yeah, I told him to bring a fruit tray, but I ain't see him bringing his stuff in. I'm like, I brought my stuff in. I just left it in the room. Nobody grabbed it. So I was like asking people, do y'all want some sparkling water? Because I don't want it. I told them where I bought it. They were just like, dang, that's crazy. And so I had a petty moment. You know, thing about me, I don't want to be petty, but I think I've observed so many people being petty in my life towards each other. I was in a really toxic work environment at AT&T, and it was really petty. So obviously some of that stuff rubbed out for me. And I don't aim to be petty, but I think I can really be petty if I really wanted to. And I think that just showed me like, okay, you need to chill out because, you know, nobody drunk that sparkling water. So it felt good to get that pettiness out though. Cause I'm usually, like I said, I'm usually trying to take the high road or be mature. I really am. But it felt good to let that out. I'm just like, here go you. Sparkling water. Nobody likes this. Here you go. Nobody drunk. But yeah, that's my petty moment. But I guess I'll wrap up by saying, man, the biggest lesson I've learned this year is trust God's plan for your life, bro. Like, and when I say that, like, trust his plan for your life. Trust it. You know, I went to school, went to Mississippi State. I got my bachelor's in psychology. Just, I don't know. I didn't really know the psychology field was like it was until I did it. But the stuff I learned was so interesting and fascinating. I loved it. I loved learning about it. But then they start saying, you know, you're going to have to get a doctorate or whatever. But I decided to switch to counseling because I enjoyed the mentor side of things. I had worked at Camp Ozark, spent 2 summers there building these relationships and kind of seeing the impact I could have on youth. So I went and did that, got that degree, got my master's. But in my internship in college, I was scared. I saw what my advisor went through, what she did, what she had to do, some of the stuff she had to do. I guess I really was doubting myself. I really didn't think I could do it. I was scared and really wanted to have to deal with kids and they want to kill themselves. I didn't want to bear that. I didn't want to hear kids say that. So I was scared. When I graduated, I had 2 job offers. I had the job I'm at now, the actual same school I'm at now, and then I had the Navy base. And because the Navy base was, it wasn't actually counseling, I took that and really kind of blamed it on the distance in my car, which really was a factor, but wasn't as big as a factor as it was of me just being scared, not thinking I can be a counselor. So I could have been a counselor 4 or 5 years ago. But and principal, he was like, yeah, we'll worry about getting you a license. Just, you know, I want to hire you. I like you. I want to offer you the job. He told me that straight up. And I turned it down because I was scared. And then God let me go to Navy base and kind of got set up in a way. I felt I wasn't really adequately trained in my job and things I needed to do and how to do it. And it came back to bite me. In the end, which I always felt was weird because I was like, man, I'm the coordinator, but yet I always feel in limbo. Like, it's not a lot of stuff for me to do. You know what I'm saying? And that came out and bit me. And then the director was like, I don't believe in micromanaging people. Bro, dude, I'm fresh out of college. This is the first time y'all have had this position. You don't want to micromanage to get the job done the way that you wanted to get done? Whatever. That didn't work out. Go through a really weird time with my wife and I, her being the only one paying bills and stuff. She was a trooper, you know, she did her thing, and then worked at AT&T. I still had a chance to go into school, but worked at AT&T. Well, I had a job offer at like a social workplace. I turned it down, went to AT&T because of the perks. And it started off good, got a new manager, and then it went to shit like super fast. I don't want to waste time on that, but that point in my life working at AT&T for that year was really interesting. I learned so much about people and I learned so much about power. Like, I learned so much about corporate at that time. People in corporate only care about one thing, that's advancing themselves. And man, did we do some really, really shady stuff at AT&T. Not shady and to hurt the customer, but almost shady enough to hurt the company itself. And it was crazy. I don't even think the company cares. You know what I'm saying? I don't think they really care. Like the regional managers, they don't really care. They just care about their stores looking better than the competition. So, but that time, I learned a lot. I went through a lot at that place. That place put me in kind of like a almost in a depression. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know I had anxiety for real. But that place brought that anxiety out of me. It made, I had a panic attack once or twice. I took an edible on the clock, got super high, had to fake like I was sick and leave, all because of the environment, you know what I'm saying? But because I was running from being a counselor, you know, I felt like God was just showing me, you know, like, son, you know, you ain't gotta, you know, you got a degree, my boy. You got a degree. Like, this is, you know, this is what I have for you right now. But, you know, obviously God is all knowing. He knew all that was going to happen, and he knew it needed to happen. And I do think I'm better because of it. Because at that, working at AT&T, making a decent money and the opportunity to make a lot of money, you kind of neglect the small things. Time with family. I couldn't really go home. I had to put in for time. And then if somebody had that day already, like, you had to put in for time the month before. I just thought that was so stupid. I never want to have to do that again in my life. So let's just say my birthday is in July. If I wanted to take off on my birthday, I would have to put in for it in June. But if I'm not the, if I'm not one of the long-standing, because it goes by seniority, so if somebody's been there longer than me and they want that day off, they get that day. And then I would have to run the risk of taking a day and getting a absent point, and you only allow 8 of those until you get in trouble. And that's ultimately what happened. I called out a lot because I just didn't want to be there, and that got me. But but while I was at AT&T, I just realized I want to spend time with my family. Like, I want to spend time with my wife. I want to be able to go home when I want to. I don't go home a lot, but I didn't have the option at AT&T. Being an educator, on a Friday, I could say, hey, we're going to Jackson for the weekend, and we can go. You know what I'm saying? I couldn't do that at AT&T. So, it's just, it's a blessing. It's a blessing, man. It's a blessing for real. And God will let you do your own thing. You know, it's free will. He'll let you do your own thing. And you know, and I think he's going to always let you do your own thing. And when you take the time to sit still, you'll see what God really has for you. And when you step into it, you'll see how much better it is for you. That's just how I feel as being a counselor. You know, Fridays, bro, the energy on Fridays is different in a school. It's so different, bro. Everybody's happy. Everybody's just smiling, just like, happy Friday. You know, this is the first thing you hear me in the morning. Happy Friday, happy Friday. What you doing this weekend? What y'all got planned? And, bro, when that dismissal bell rings on a Friday, it's different. People bouncing off the walls like, everybody's happy. And they just go home, have a glass of wine, go out of town, and then you come back and do it again. So I'm just blessed. And that was God's plans for me. I think that was his plan for me, was to go through those things. And there's going to be more tests and trials, but faith builders. But, you know, being a counselor is hard. But I do think that's what God want me to do right now. And sometimes you just got to trust God. And then that thing that you've been wanting, he'll give it to you in the most unexpected way. So just bless, man. Trust God's plan for your life. You know, trust his plan. Trust his plan. AT&T woke me up. AT&T woke me up. And my wife was helping me find a job, and that's literally how it all started. I'll end with this one last story. There's this lady that worked in the district with my wife. After I had lost the AT&T job, it was a IT job, tech job, whatever. So they were like, yeah, you know, interview, whatever. Excuse me. I go in the interview. Okay, lady loved me. It's a black lady. She loved me. She was like, yeah, so I see you got a degree, a master's in counseling. Like, what, you know, what are you going to do with that? And I just told her, just gave her the straight up, whatever. And she was like, okay, but I really, and she straight up told me, she said, I really don't like you for this job. I think you would be better as a counselor. That was what she told me in the email or something like that. When they didn't offer me the job, I was hurt because I was looking for a job, trying to just get a job. But that moment pushed me to get my counseling stuff situated, because I was scared to take the test and fail it a bunch of times. And during COVID, they waived it. And I knew they waived it for teachers. I just didn't know they waived it for counselors. Turns out it was waived. And they tried to get me to run around at the Mississippi Department of Education. But eventually I got talking to the right person. It's like, okay, yeah, send us this. And I sent it to them, man. And they sent me a license, a counseling license. I was like, wow, I have my school counseling license. It's 5 years. I have a 5-year school counseling license, right? So I was so excited. My wife was excited. And it was just like, all right, now it's time to find a job. And then no jobs were popping up. And then soon as like February, March came around, jobs started popping up. Bam, bam, bam. I'm putting in applications everywhere. Didn't hear for any schools. Actually, it wasn't a lot of counselor jobs at first. It was like, there was a social work job. Applied for that, got offered that job. And then there was a counseling job at a school. I ain't gonna drop no names on these schools, but they called me in for an interview, offered me the job. And you know, my wife and I was talking, just like, hey, I don't really like this fit. You know, it don't feel like the place I'm supposed to be at. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just like, well, what do I do? Do I call and resend the offer or whatever, whatever? And kid you not, the next day after I had accepted the job, the principal at the school I'm at now, he emailed me and was like, hey, you still looking to be a counselor? I was like, yes, sir. He was like, well, I don't know for sure yet, but I might have a counselor job opening. I'll keep you posted. Man, tell my wife that. We're excited. They're just like, yes, this is the place for you. This is the place for you. This is right here. And we're just talking and we're walking one day. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to call the other school to resend my offer. Just because I just knew, you know, we just had a feeling I was going to get the job I'm at now. I promise you, this is how it happened. I pulled my phone out of my pocket. My phone is already ringing. It's the principal from that school. She calls me and she says, hey, we have to resend your offer. I'm like, what? You know, but I'm not like, what? Because I'm like, oh, I was actually calling to, you know, say I don't want to take it. But she was just like, yeah. And I was just like, why? And she was like, we saw a post on your Facebook that I had made during the George Floyd thing, the George Floyd killing and all the stuff that was going on. And I was calling out racist people. I was just calling out racist people. I guess it rubbed them the wrong way. And then they, they said, you know, we serve everybody here. And I get that. And, the rescinded the offer. I said, okay, thank you. Hung up the phone. And then principal called me later, a few days later. Actually, he didn't. I just kept messaging him. And it was just like, hey, you know, any word? And I was messaging my co-counselor because we went to college together. So I'm messaging her and I'm just like, hey, you know, whatever, whatever. And, you know, finally it happened. Got the interview and got the job. So just, I have things come full circle, man. The place I turned down, I end up at. And to me, that just lets me know, like, it makes me feel like this is what God has for me, wants me to be doing right now, being a counselor at this school. Will I stay at that school forever? I don't know. It's one of the highest paying in the state, for sure. But and that's another thing, man. He put me in the one of the highest paying districts in the state of Mississippi. And being that I work 220 days, I get paid a little more than your average teacher, whatever. So it's just a blessing, man. So I, you know, when Bo gets older, you know, we're in wherever we're living, we'll assess it then. But I'm humble and I'm just grateful, man. So thank y'all for listening to the podcast today. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you like this episode, go ahead and subscribe. It's a long one just because I've been away for a while, but it's been fun sitting here in a guest room, looking at the computer, talking to myself. Always fun to do that. But I hope y'all found some gems, something you can relate to, something you can use in your everyday life, man. But if you like the podcast, go ahead and subscribe to it, turn on notifications, make sure you stay tapped in to PTG on the brand and my music. You can follow me on wherever you stream: YouTube, Apple Music, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Play, everywhere. Taylo, T-A-E-Y-L-O. That is my rap alias, rap name. That's my alias. I might change it in the future, but right now I'm gonna rock with it. But yeah, everything's connected, man. YouTube, it's not Prosper to Godspeed anymore. It's T-A-E-Y-L-O. It's Taylo, because I get my music put straight to that channel. So just support your boy, and always. But yeah, man, thank y'all for listening. And always and forever, Godspeed.
You got money problems, I'm sorry. Hey. Ain't no money problems ever stop me. Never. I just treated praying like a hobby, and then I prospered at Godspeed, and it got me.
Money, power, yeah. I need checks in every week.
Oh, yeah.
Four season, nigga, I need breakfast.